Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe, and I'm glad you're with us today. Our goal is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. Central Coast Voices addresses how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community and how we look at the long-term ramifications of changes in our society, or in some cases, lack of change or changes we were not looking forward to. This is a project of Action for Healthy Communities, and we'll let you know a little bit more about Action for Healthy Communities a little later in the program. This is Black History Month, and as part of Black History Month, we wanted to take an opportunity through the limited number of shows that we get to do to focus on that. And so today we're going to talk about an interesting thing that's going on in the community, and that is the resurgence of the local chapter of the NAACP on the Central Coast, for which there was a number of years ago, and we'll talk about that a little further. I have today, my guests are Reverend Stephen Vines, pardon me, plural, who's the interim president of the NAACP, Cheryl Vines, and Jim Garcia. And we'll talk a little bit more about that whole topic. Let me remind you of a little bit of the background that you may want to be aware of. NAACP was founded in February of 1909, and it is the nation's oldest and largest and widely recognized grassroots civil rights organization. It obviously predates the civil rights movement that many of us grew up around. It's more than a half million members and supporters throughout the United States and the world really support it because it's a premier advocacy organization for civil rights in the community. And it's really an important factor in a lot of communities. And one of the things today we'll talk about is the history of it locally. We're going to share that history. We're going to talk about the organization and its involvement with both political and educational endeavors in the community, and the fact that part of their resurgence in San Luis Obispo County is including some events coming up this month. They have some mixers that are going to happen in San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, and Los Osos later in the month, and we will talk about that. So I want to welcome my guests and welcome you that are joining us today. I also want to remind you that this is a call-in program. This is a discussion among members of our community, and this is a community public radio station. That's KCBX, of course. The phone number that you can call in and be part of this discussion is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. And we're glad you're with us today. Reverend Vines, let me start with you. The organization in the Central Coast, I was surprised to know that there was a chapter that kind of went away for a while. So you want to start with a little bit of local history for us?
Well, the three of us, we were the original charter members of that chapter, and we were really the driving force behind it, along with Herb Keaton and Dr. Silverman from the university. And we started the chapter, and we did a lot of different things in the community. We did a lot of different cultural events and a lot of advocacy. And a lot of things that what we do is social justice or referral and information. So, we were here in San Luis Obispo in 1983 we started.
83. Okay. I guess the question in probably a lot of people's minds is that if it was a valid presence in the community back then, what caused it to become less of an active community now? And I guess I have to kind of add to that, is the political trending in our country this last year or couple of years something that's helping propagate a new interest?
Well, I don't mind speaking to that. I think that there is a continuing interest in the NAACP. I think what happened was the demise of the earlier installation of a chapter here in San Luis Obispo County simply happened, as with most of our organizations, particularly on the Central Coast. A lot of the people on the Central Coast were from other areas in over a period of time, those who were mostly closely involved with the organization are either moved out of the county or have since died. So we were left with a dwindling number of the core group that started the chapter. And then time passed on, different jobs were changed, and people fell apart. That is to say, people didn't fall apart. We our interests diverged into other areas, and eventually the membership dwindled so that we weren't having continuing meetings after that. And then Steve came in recent months and said, "Jim, we ought to revitalize the NAACP." And I says, "That sounds like a story I heard when we first started the NAACP." We didn't know whether or not what organization to start. There were a few black friends who we met with from time to time, and we talked about this. We said, what organization should we have? And we talked about SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. We talked about CORE, Congress of Racial Equality. Those were organizations that were primarily devoted to universities or colleges. There were younger people involved. And so then we said, well, what's left? Well, of course, what's left? The most important organization of all, the NAACP. It's been around for almost 100 years. And if it could sustain its presence in our small community, I think this is our best chance. And so that's the reason we went with the NAACP rather than SNCC or CORE or other organizations.
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, we moved away, and Dr. Silverman got another job at another university. And San Luis is a transient area, so to speak. And, so things just sort of – people moved away and interests got dropped, and then we moved back into the area, and one of the things, what our goal and objective is really to really bring the community together, to have an impetus to really, dress with issues in our community and to have cultural activities and to bring the community together. So we decided to go ahead and launch it again, and then we got lucky and Trump became president. So it gave us a lot of energy to be able to start that process. So that sort of energized it. But we had thought about doing it, and we were going to implement it, regardless whether he was elected or not. But since he was elected and some of the issues that he's talking about, it sort of, gave us sail in our wind in our sails. Mm-hmm. So
I subscribe to a newsletter feed from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've seen a lot showing up in that news feed over the last year, but mostly over the last 3 months, is a resurgence of, can't think of a better word for it, hate groups that are becoming more vocal. And I don't believe these organizations were ever not around. I believe they may feel in some regards like they've gotten more, in their minds, more permission to be vocal. Is that anything that you've seen become a factor on the Central Coast?
When you begin to sort of, look at that, and as from our perspective, segregation never went anywhere. As the president said the other day, when we just look at history, we only, 50 years from Jim Crow, or 60 years before that lynching laws, before that, being freed. So our community, we are more aware of that. As far as the larger community, they may not have, understood the situation. But, being in our situation, like in a Ventura, the Grand Dragon is in Ventura, the Ku Klux Klan, and a lot of people don't think they're still alive, but we know that they're still alive, and that just given the environment now, they sort of came out of the closet a little bit more, but which is a good thing. It's a good thing because this issue has been a non-issue. They says, "Oh, we got a black president. There's no more racism." All of a sudden it disappeared. But the truth of the situation is that having a black president started the process of bringing them out of the closet. And now we have this president, and he done brought them all out, and they shined the light on them, and they're having a party.
Yeah, I'm not at a loss for words often. I think you bring up some very, very, very valid points. There, within recent history, we've had federal courts that have basically said that a lot of the issues of the Voting Rights Act didn't need to be enforced anymore because we had, my words, not any court hearings words, we had gotten through that or we were beyond that. It's obvious from what you're saying that that's maybe a perception of people that's certainly not valid in the community. Cheryl, I want you to get an opportunity here. Are there local influences of racism that you've witnessed in recent past that helps you unfortunately remember that it hasn't gone away?
Well, I haven't personally experienced anything, but I know of people who have. Okay, and I guess it would be kind of settled, but you know it's still there. I feel that it's never gone away, and like Stephen said, it's people are more it's more prevalent now. You know, people want to, they're expressing themselves more as far as, racism and everything. But I know that it's there. There was a gentleman in Pismo Beach who got followed to his home. He had actually lost his key or couldn't find his key or whatever. And so he was climbing up into a window, and a neighbor called the police on him. And he was climbing into his own home, right? Mm-hmm. And so somebody called the police because they claimed they didn't know who it was. All they could see is that it was a black man. So he got into the house, and after he was in there for a few minutes, there was a knock on the door, and there were the police and asking him all kinds of questions, wanting to see his ID and everything. So I know that it's still there, and it still happens, and it happens in this community a lot.
And then when you begin to look at statistical data, when you look at the amount of incarcerations, you look at the amount of, of poverty, you look at the whole statistical data, it hasn't changed, And the last time when I was president of the NAACP, came over to the house and says, well, they just did a study that says for 50% of the population, nothing done's changed. What do you think about that? That's the truth, that, for a certain percent of the population, it changed. For the upperly mobile, for people who got education, they are able to live where they want to live. And, but when you talk about people under certain financial situations and living in certain environments like the Midwest, down south, in those communities that under segregation, under, low, should we say, most of the businesses are owned by people outside the community, violence and all the other indicators, would say that that's not the case. But when you talk about the news media and the consciousness of most Americans, they say because of the upperly mobile, things seem to get better for a small percentage, but for most of the population, it hasn't changed. As I was saying, I think it's a good thing that this comes up because we need to be able to address the issue of racism. You can't address something that's not there, Mm-hmm. So, that it needs to be addressed. So I think that, looking at, it's always a good side to everything, racism needs to be addressed.
Well, to be quite honestly, I don't believe that much has changed to warrant the demise of, or not wanting to start a chapter, revitalize it for the NAACP. It's quite ironic that this past week has resulted in some, well, last night, for example, in major demonstrations that were taking place on the Berkeley campus. In the week prior to that, the demonstrations that were taking place here in San Luis Obispo in response to Milo Yovanovitch, or I mispronounce his name.
It's okay. I don't even try to pronounce his name. Yes. It's Milo, yeah.
But in any case, what was happening is that something quite similarly happened shortly after we created the NAACP chapter. There was a speaker who was invited to Cuesta College to speak. And like Milo, he had some rather pronounced anti-black, anti-colored people's agenda. And he spoke for well over an hour to freshmen in Cuesta College. And the next day it came out in headlines in the newspapers with some of the things that he had said. And we were a very new chapter. We thought, well, this is one of the ways in which we could recruit. So we asked for a visit with him to discuss the issue, and we got it. Myself and another one of our key people on our in the NAACP went to visit the president of Cuesta College and asked why they allowed this person to come and speak. We were all in favor of having free speech. That wasn't the problem. The problem with us is that why couldn't you have had somebody to balance what he was about to say? Everybody knew of his prior speaking engagements and had an idea of what he was going to talk about. So it would have been quite easy for the Cuesta College to have invited somebody from a different position. And so we went to see him, and he admitted that there's a possibility that he could have done things different. And as I was telling Steve on the way down here this morning, and Joe Neves was my counterpart with me that day, and we kind of chuckled when we left because the president said, "What do you want me to do, get down on my knees and beg?" In other words, that was quite a chuckling moment for us because we weren't asking for anything more than to have other speakers when they do have somebody who is going to speak as he did and create situations that might involve the larger community.
We have a number of people who obviously want to join this conversation. Okay. We've got a number of people on hold. Those of you who are on hold, we've got three calls waiting, so it'll take us a while to get through with this. So thank you for your patience, but just hold on. Michael, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, yeah.
You're on the air.
Hi, you were just asking about local occasions of racism, and I just wanted to bring to your attention the white supremacist propaganda and attacks on the Women and Gender Studies program and Ethnic Studies programs at Cal Poly that we experienced on campus leading up to the Milo talk. And so I was wondering if you might talk a little bit about how the organization might bring these instances that aren't, frankly, well covered in the media to public attention, and what should be the media's role in outing the, you know, what has now adopted this nickname of the alt-right, which is, in many cases, just well-dressed white supremacism. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, great. Thanks for the call. Some of your organizers are Cal Poly folks.
Right.
Is Mr. Allen is still at Cal Poly?
Or, yes.
Okay,
yes,
so Preston
is.
Allen. Yes. Okay, as one of your organizers, has that been a topic that's come up in discussion yet? As Mike asks.
Yeah, it has been a topic. We went to the Black staff meeting, and that was one of the issues that they brought up. Right now, you know, once we get organized, we sort of had tunnel vision right now for the next 30 days. you know, in the sense that our goal and objective right now is to get membership. We're on our membership drive, and we're in the process of making the transition into program planning and governance. And when we make, as we make that transition, one of the things that we're going to be doing is, first of all, is database as far as getting information on different things that's happening in the community. Our first year, we're going to be focusing on 80% relationship building, and 20% is going to be deal with information gathering, dealing with the different organizations, what's going on in the community, so we can begin to put together our program to be able to address the issues that are happening yeah. here. So that's one of the things that the NAACP does, in the sense that we, when things happen, we do an investigation, and then we bring the media in and try to have conferences and talk with organizations like KCBX to see if we can, you know, bring that to a light. Yeah. You know.
So thanks very much. Okay. Let me jump in. We've got Richard on the line too. Richard, you're on the air. Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, I'm a retired professor with credentials in government. I'm a Democrat, Unitarian, mainly liberal. And I kind of resent the trend where people are calling anyone that's against illegal immigration. The big trend now is to call them a racist, and that's not right. Guy, you're talking about the vast majority of people in America. All the polls, this is a very lopsided issue.
I guess I need some clarification, because we haven't spoken about immigration as part of this discussion today, so I'm not quite sure what you're asking my guests to respond to.
Oh, I thought it was mentioned.
Okay.
No, we haven't, you know, mentioned that. When you look at it, you know, what the NAACP and what, you know, when I begin to look at the movement, it's about liberty and justice. That's really the conversation. You know, once you begin to add labels of bigotry, racism, that just takes it off, your eye off the ball. You know, the conversation we're really talking about is liberty and justice. And, you know, part of the preamble, you know, in our Constitution says for everyone, and we are a country of immigrants. And, you know, I don't agree with those labeling also, and that, you know, what we're talking about here today is liberty and justice. And, you know, and that's where we want to have the conversation at.
Yeah, well, I'm all for the NAACP's goals. In that respect, and I was once a member years ago when I had time to be active, but this business of calling people racist when they disagree with you just because they disagree with you on a certain issue, that's not right.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, you know, our conversation is about liberty and freedom, you know.
Yes, we have actually five key areas of focus. And one is to build unity and strength in our community, support cultural activities, whether they're Hispanic, Black, it doesn't matter. We want to support all cultural groups. We want to be able to create a support system for all of those groups, and also be a voice of justice and fairness and unity, and to lock arms against discrimination and segregation in all areas of our community. Okay. So those are our main
Thanks,
focuses.
Well, I'm all for that, yeah. But there seems to be a trend to to label people as racist and bad people if they're opposed to illegal immigration. That's not right.
Okay. I think, Richard, I think you bring up a good point, and that wasn't the discussion we're having today, to the best of my understanding.
Well, okay. I thought that was mentioned.
Okay.
Thank you very much for putting me on the air.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. I'm sorry. Summer, thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Summer, and I had already decided to become a member a couple of weeks ago. I'm white, by the way, and I'm just waiting for my computer to get back so I can become a member. But my one question, or a few questions anyway, me as a member, are we going to be having monthly meetings? And kind of in a nutshell, what is it that we as members will be doing?
Yes, thank you. We will be having monthly meetings. They're going to be the second Tuesday, starting in March. They're going to be the second Tuesday of the month. And right now we're in our membership drive. We have, for this month, for the month of February, we have scheduled three fantastic mixers. And the first one's going to be on Friday, February the 3rd, which is tomorrow, from 5:30 to 7:30, and it's going to be at the Steinberg Gallery at 1531 Monterey Street. So please come. We would love to have you. And then we also have one scheduled in Atascadero, and that's going to be February the 16th.
I'm writing that down. February 16th, because I live in Santa Margarita.
Oh, okay, great, perfect. So that would be February the 16th from 5:30 to 7:30, and it's going to be at Hush Harbor Artisan Bakery, and that's at 5735 El Camino Real, Suite L, in Atascadero.
And what's the name of that bakery?
It's Hush Harbor Artisan Bakery. And then the third mixer is going to be on February the 22nd at 5:30, and that's going to be at the Seacrest Oceanfront Hotel in Pismo Beach. And that address is 2241 Price Street. And you can find all of this information on our Facebook page. It's NAACP CTY.
CTY, I don't have.
Wait,
I don't.
Let me. No, that's wrong. I gave that wrong.
I will find you, and I will see you in Atascadero.
Okay.
Yeah. I think if you put in NAACP SLO in the Facebook, it'll come up.
Yeah,
because that's how I pulled it up.
NAACP yes. SLO. Okay.
Yeah. SLO. Yeah, I forgot that part.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it'll come up. Yeah, Summer, thanks for your call.
All right, I'll see you.
Okay, take care.
Count me in.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and let's see, we've got one more, and that's. Heidi Harmon, we have Heidi's last name, which we usually don't ask for because we know who Heidi is. Heidi is the current mayor of San Luis Obispo. Hi, Heidi. Thanks for being part of the discussion.
Yeah, thank you so much for letting me speak briefly. First, I just want to say how excited I am to see the NAACP coming back to San Luis Obispo. And as kind of was already mentioned, I think it's clear that we need groups like this now more than ever. And I'm really excited to be as supportive of it as possible, and I'm looking forward to moving forward with them.
Heidi, thanks very much. The city, I guess, doesn't take an official capacity in things like this, but obviously council members as individuals do. Have you already been involved with the NAACP, or is this a new experience for you too?
Well, I mean, I've met with the folks that you have on your show and several others just in the process of them coming back to San Luis Obispo, but I believe this would be my first, and I've already joined also, so I think this is the first time I've been a member of this specific group, but I've been interested in working on issues around social justice and civil rights for a long time, and so I'm happy to be part of this, and I'm looking forward to seeing them tomorrow night at their mixer as well.
Okay. Heidi, I guess because of your community involvement and you now being on the city council, have you, as an observer to the community, seen issues of racism going on within the city of San Luis Obispo or San Luis County that concern you?
Well, I think the main issue that concerns me, because what it would be easy to say that we don't really have that to a large extent here, but the main reason that we don't see that to the extent that other communities might is because we have such a lack of diversity here. Although certainly people of color experience racism here every day, but we have the lowest diversity in the state of California in the county of San Luis Obispo. So that's the part that, to me, is the part that I'm really interested in seeing what we can do meaningfully to change that to some extent. And so I had conversations with people in HR at Cal Poly and with business leaders in the community to see if we can start to figure out what we might be able to do together to create and support more diversity here in the city. So that's the piece I'm the most interested in from my perspective.
Okay. Heidi, thanks very much for your comments.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. You have a great day.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we're really putting the organization together, you know, because, you know, when you look at the dynamics in this, you know, community, and it's sort of a community that people come in and out. And the last time we had the NAACP, we had a lot of different people that worked at Caltrans out to the prison and up at the Tascadero and the other employers. And one of the things, like I said, once we finish our membership drive, we're going to start our database management system to start getting information about on parity and hiring practices within our community and see if we can support the major employers and smaller employers to, you know, bring more people of color into the community. And also along with that, you know, I know that one of the major things that they're going to say a lot of times, black people don't want to stay in the area because there's not a lot of things to do here. So we're going to be looking on the other side. Like I said, our goal and objective is to build our community. So we're going to start having activities, start creating that infrastructure so as we bring people into the community that there is a community of color to become part of. Okay. And, you know, so we're going to be looking. That's why most of our, should we say, the first year is going to be social development and building relationships, and then implementation of our program, you know, is going to come as we move forward. But I think that we need to deal with things on both sides. We need to have the employers, you know, do more outreach to bring people of color in, and that as a community we have to build a stronger infrastructure to hold them here.
Yeah, very good point. Thank you, Reverend. Want to remind folks that this is Public Radio KCBX, and we're talking today with the local community of organizers for the new chapter of the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And we want you to be part of the discussion if you're so inclined. The phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. We have a number of callers with us here today. So if you're on the line, we have a number of calls on hold. So please be patient. We will get to all of the calls as soon as we can. Let me go to Chris. You're on the air. What are your thoughts?
Hey there, everybody. I was just calling to say that this is really awesome what you're doing, and I totally agree with it, and I know that this community needs it, and not only that, we'll like, be behind you 100%, and it just makes me really proud just to see people here just putting their effort out for stuff that we need. And I had a question, and I don't know if this is relative at all. I heard you guys talking about Milo earlier, and I just kind of feel like, I mean, I listened to some of the stuff he was saying, and it kind of irks me, and I feel like some of these people are just trying to cause more issues than you know, try to help each other. And I thought you might want to speak on that or not, but I won't go into detail, but I just really like what you guys are doing, and I just want to say thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Reverend, I think earlier in the conversation you actually commented that that a lot of what you may be gaining this was with reinitiating a chapter in San Luis Obispo is there's things that are going on politically that you don't agree with, that somehow, if for lack of a better way of putting it, it provokes people to speak up who maybe have not spoken up for some time.
Yeah, you know, one of the major issues, you know, I mean, when you begin to what we're up against, you know, it's not, we're really not up against racism, we're not up against fascism, we're not up against any of those things. In a sense, what we're up against is a system of oppression.
Okay.
And a system of oppression which creates a negative environment to interact in because it turns you against yourself. And then when it turns you against yourself, it turns you against other people. And a lot of times when I talked about the labeling is to keep our mind off what really the issue is. Mm-hmm. The issue is divide and conquer. The issue is that we have a system that you know, that we have a constitution that's not being followed. You know, we have in a preamble that says we the people, you know, in order to make a perfect union, that we have certain liberties that are not being given to us, you know, and so they have to put all these reasons why of racism, of thisism, of thatism, of sexism. But the real issue is the oppressive environment that we live in, a system that divides and conquers us at all levels, whether you white, whether you woman, whether you what you believe in, whether whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. That's really the issue that we're under, is a system of oppression that, you know, that the founding fathers talked about, that we always had to be vigilant, and for a country of the people, for the people, by the people, that we need to stand up, but we need to have our eye on the ball. And the ball is that we have in a system of oppression that our Congress and our Senate and now our executive office is pushing, which is against, which is un-American.
Yeah, good point. Let me. We've got some other callers here too. Patrick, you're on the line. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I had a question. I'm here in San Luis Obispo, and I just heard about the lack of diversity here in terms of numbers, but I'm really kind of puzzled because I don't see the opportunity, at least in our public environment, to try to do something about it. For instance, I recently heard that at San Luis Obispo High School, they've never hired a black teacher. And here it's 2017, and I don't know what would it take for something like that to happen? And why hasn't that happened?
Well, any of my get, I'd,
well, that was one of our main. That was the last thing that we were fighting before we left, before we went back to Ohio. You know, we were working with the school district to remedy that, and I guess it never got remedied. So, well, we'll have to address that issue with the superintendent. You know, once we get past our membership drive.
Okay, very good point. Though. Thanks.
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
I had a second question.
Go ahead, yes.
Yeah, my second question was, you know, was just around employment. I heard the mayor mention numbers about, you know, this is the less diverse place in the state. But the fact remains is that people of color, when they come here, there's a lack of opportunity for employment. And lack of opportunity for employment means you're not hired, you're not interviewed, you're not considered for a position. I heard, speaking of one of the larger employers in the area, Cal Poly, I heard recently that 40% of the black people that work there are no longer there. So what's going on? What's going on with employment opportunities here?
Okay. I can't answer your question, and I'll let Reverend Vines jump in here in a second. But I want to remind you that one of the organizers of the local chapter who can't be with us today is Preston Allen, who is a reasonably high-ranking official at Cal Poly. He may be one of the people to pose that question to. And so you may want to consider getting involved or at least coming to an event that the NAAC is putting on to maybe talk to people like Mr. Allen. All righty. But thanks for the call.
Yeah,
go ahead, Richard.
I've heard that too. You know, they had a teach-in up at the university, I guess last week sometime, and one of the ex-black faculty members came up to me and asked me if I was aware of that. And, you know, like, that's one of the things that we're going to address. I've talked with the diversity department up there, but right now we're not a NAACP. You know, I mean, we have the membership, but we got to go through all the paperwork. And like I said, right now we're keeping our focus on membership so we can have a strong base, because the program for the NAACP, you know, has a really wide range. We have 16 committees that need to be active and in the community, so that, you know, once we start our membership meeting, would you tell them where we're going to be having our meetings at?
Yeah, our monthly membership meetings are going to be held on starting the second Tuesday of each month, so March 14th, starting March 14th, and then we'll have one April 11th, May 9th, June 13th and July 11th and 17th. July 11th, not 17th. And they're going to be held at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of San Luis Obispo County, and that's located at 2201 Lawton Avenue in San Luis Obispo. So that'll be the second Tuesday of each month, starting in March, from 6:30 to 8:00. And we would love for all of our members to participate.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Actually, I think I think I might have missed a call here. So hold on a second. Let me see. Lee, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm not quite sure who I was just speaking to because I may have grabbed the wrong call. So I to the last caller, I apologize if I did not interview or announce you correctly by name. But Lee, please jump in the conversation.
Thank you so much. My name is Lee Sutter. I live in Los Osos. I'm a retired reporter, and I was a former dropout for 20 years, and so I had no, you know, any office work I did was when I was much younger. I got hired to be the administrative assistant for the Afro-American Community Services in Santa Barbara, and I got all of the skills I needed. I was the token white person there. And I was then hired by the County of Santa Barbara after that contract expired. And I had great credentials when I moved up here. And I had a heck of a time getting a job. And I think it's because of they thought I was black, they being whoever's looking at my applications, because of my former employment by a black organization, and I would be honored to join the NAACP.
Well, good. You bring up a very good point, and that's thank you for the call, Lee. I appreciate it.
Well, we would love to have you as a member. If you can make it to our mixer tomorrow evening, that would be great.
I cannot.
Okay. Okay, so
I'm still freelancing as a reporter, okay. So I have a theater review I need to cover.
Okay.
There's others going on. There's one in Atascadero on the 16th.
There's
going to
be one in Atascadero on February the 16th.
Right.
And then Pismo Beach on February the 22nd.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in.
Listening to this show.
Thank you. Lee brings up an interesting point because my day job is I'm in the travel industry and transportation. There was a large disclosure of interesting things going on with Airbnb, which is it's a way you can book rental property individually, where they were actually discovering that that people who of color who had their pictures on their Airbnb profile were often finding that rentals that allegedly were available were not available. So and Airbnb has done some specific things to address that on a national level. But in my mind, when I'm listening to Lee talk about what she went through looking for a job, it helps us understand that racism, as an Anglo that's observed that kind of thing, it's not gone. We'd like to believe it's not as bad as it used to be, but obviously you've talked about the fact that there are certain things that are still with us, and we get reminders, and Lee brought up a very good reminder. Let me go see. Katie, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much for your patience. Jump on in the conversation.
Am I now?
You're on the air.
Oh, hi. First of all, I wanted to get back to what Jim had to say. I really liked that he said, you know, and to avoid a lot of this conflict that's going on with these colleges is a really brilliant idea to present both sides of an issue rather than just having one extremely inflammatory person show up. Maybe like asking the leader of the Black Panthers to show up at Cal Poly and speak, you know. It's going to, in this day and age, it's going to inflare people. It's going to incite all kinds of craziness. It's already been seen in our country. So I think that's a brilliant idea to, you know, I mean, let's get smart about this. You know, why not present both sides? That way both sides have an opportunity to do, I think it's just inciting riots. I think it's certain people wanting to create a whole lot of trouble, and we don't need that right now. It's already bad enough as it is. I mean, I listen to Breitbart every day, unfortunately. My father told me I had to listen to all sides, and I do, and I listen to Rush Limbaugh every day, and so I know what these people are saying, and they're inciting racism and inflaming people, and that's not really where we need to be right now. I was watching a program on NPR, and they said, this was today's program, only signs of fascism. You can find it at the National Holocaust Museum. And I encourage everybody, no matter who you are or what you believe in, to look that up, to see what it says, and you'll find some horrifying correlations to what's going on right now in our country and around the world, quite honestly. So the National Holocaust Museum, I don't know if they have it on their website or not, but it's on Democracy Now! I'm sure if you went to their website, you could find that information.
Okay. Bring up a very good point. Thanks for the call.
I listen to my Yiannopoulos quite frequently. He uses the excuse that he's a flaming, quote, flaming homosexual to present this very, very, certainly the Indian descent, which is, is neither here or there, but the format that he operates under, I don't know if any of you, the listeners, listen to Breitbart News, but you can only come to a couple of conclusions there as to really what's going on. And so I feel like, if we can all get together and really understand what's happening here, and actually doing as Jim said, presenting both sides so it doesn't get inflamed and people don't, it's already inflamed. It's already crazy. So why inflame it even more?
Okay. Very good point. Thanks for the call. A lot of people who are calling obviously have frustrations about whether or not positive voices are being heard. One of the reasons why we talked about and decided to invite you on the program today was that from what we've read and what we've paid attention to when producing this program is that the NAACP is inviting people to be constructive and go in a positive direction and, yes, respond to things that may be that need a response or a challenge to. But I think what you folks are doing is very good. I wonder if are you getting any as you talk to the community, because you've been on the local television stations. This is your second time in some format on KCBX, because our news director did an interview also, and the Tribune locally has done an article about it. Are you getting, I'm careful of my words, any reactionary response from people?
Yeah. Oh.
Cheryl, please, yes.
We've gotten a very positive response to, and I don't know if this is what you're asking, to us reactivating the NAACP.
I'm encouraged you're getting predominantly a positive response.
Yes.
But sometimes organizations like this get a reactionary response to things that you do.
Well, that's coming. Right now, like I said, our program is nice and clean and very, our
welcoming.
Our team is a part of the community, and we understand the community, and we cut off the sort of the rough edges. But after time, we're going to have to, once we start implementing the program of NAACP, which is to fight segregation and discrimination, then once we start, being more aggressive with that, I'm quite sure we're going to be having those issues. And do you have anything to say with that, Jim?
No, I'd just like to quickly add that the first chapter of the NAACP consisted of more than 50% of the members were actually white members in our community. The 1980 census had just been passed And it was in 1983, I believe, that the state of California declared a Martin Luther King holiday. And that's when we spoke at the name of the Baptist Church.
Springfield
Baptist Church, where I spoke there. And we had overall in during the time that the organization existed, at least 50% of the people who were in our chapter were white or Anglo-American people. And so we encouraged people of all ethnic and racial groups and sexual orientation to join.
Yeah. Cheryl?
I'm going to have to go. So I just wanted to say that I feel that there isn't a better time in our history in which we need to really work together as a community and to ensure that the values of justice and equality are not lost. And as our former president, our great president, Barack Obama, always says, it's not a black America or white America. It's the United States of America. And everyone should be, you know, included in that.
So. Good. Thank you for coming in. Shirley, I realize you let us know you have to leave before the end of the program, so I thank you for being with us today. We've got a few more minutes, and we probably want to remind folks, Reverend, if you want to remind people as to where there are going to be mixers going on, so we make sure we cover that.
We'll go through that right quick. We're going to have one tomorrow night. It's going to be electrifying. We're going to be talking about, you know, our goal and objective and letting the community know some great news. So we're looking forward to everybody coming there to the Steinberg Gallery at 1531 Monterey. Then we're moving up to a wonderful bakery, one of the premier bakeries in this county here, which is an African-owned bakery, Harbor Hush Artisan Bakery. They're going to let us use their facility on February 16th from 5:30 to 7:30, and it's at 5735 El Camino Real, Suite L, in Atascadero. And then our final mixer is going to be in Pismo Beach, so if you can't make that one, and if you can make all of them, it'll be nice, because we would love to see you, and we're about building community. It's February the 22nd, and it's at Seacrest Oceanfront Hotel, 2241 Price Street, and we would really love to have you. And then we're getting ready to start our program and our monthly membership meetings, because we'll have our charter by then. All the paperwork is getting in, and we'll be meeting at the Unitarian Universal Fellowship of San Luis Obispo County at 2201 Lawton Avenue, right across from the park on Broad and South Street.
Sounds
there.
Great, yeah.
And the second Tuesday of each month, starting March 14th, April 11th, and then in May, June, July, and into the next 30 years, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Good point. Well, thanks for making sure we knew about that, because I think that's one of the key things we wanted to talk about was, right, when you're restarting your chapter here, right, to know about that. Jim, you haven't had a lot to say, but I want to give you a couple of minutes if you'd like to. Where is this going, and what do you want to see happen?
Well, believe it or not, I think that Steve has already pushed the NAACP chapter, the revitalization of the NAACP chapter, far beyond anything we did during the initial chapter when it began. As I said before, we had the county had very, very few black people in our county at that time. People might say even today that nothing has really changed about that, and they're probably true. We've just gotten to be a larger county with more diversity. My feeling is that we're an inclusive organization, as Steve pointed out, and we hope that others of all races will see the NAACP as a chapter that they can belong to and have their voices heard. And I think we're well on our way to doing that.
Reverend, you kind of get the last word. It's okay. I realize one of your day jobs is as a pastor, and this is a wonderful project for you to take on. What do you want to make sure we don't forget about?
First of all, I'm not a pastor. Well, my ministry is church administration and community organizing. But thanks though.
Okay.
That really what the NAACP, what we really want to use the NAACP for is to be the wheel that keeps all the social justice organizations together and to bring us all together, all our communities together, so we can support each other events, and that our major focus is this first year is going to be relationships and education, because if you don't know any better, you're probably not going to do any better. So we're going to be starting our Unlearning Racism classes, and we're going to be starting support groups, and we want the churches and the organizations to sort of support that activity, because that's where it's at, you know, because it's, you know, I want to leave everybody with this. It's only one kind of man, and that's a human being. You know, and we're all human beings. You know, it's only one race. It's no white. There's no black. There's no Mexicans. There's human beings. There's no women. They're human beings. We're all human beings. And when we, you know, one thing I liked about Star Trek, it was the first show that ever came on that it had all people, all the world working together, because once they found out they were aliens, the people of the world says, oh, well, we better come together, you know. So hopefully we won't need the aliens to come here, and, you know, before we finally come together as one people, one nation, and one country.
Okay. For clarification, you were talking about planetary aliens.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Okay. Planetary aliens, okay. Martians or from plutonium or wherever.
All righty. Good point. Thank you very much, and we'll leave it with that. Thank you. Okay. This has been Central Coast Voices. We're glad you joined the program today. You've heard a lot of this from me before, but I'll remind you that Central Coast Voices is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. Next week, Chris Kington Barker will be with you, and she will be speaking with guests who will be honoring Children's Dental Health Month, which is all of February, as well as Heart Month. And she'll be talking with Taryn Strout, DDS, board-certified pediatric dentist, Suzanne Russell, who's the clinical director of Tolosa Children's Dental Center, and Teresa Anselmo, who's the executive director of Partner for the Children of San Luis Obispo County. They'll be talking about the importance of starting good oral hygiene habits very early in a child's life and the impact that poor oral health has on both children and adults. They will also be discussing the challenges of families facing the ability to get health care for their children and oral health care in the community. And that'll be our program next week. So join Chris Kington Barker. As I've said before, this is Action for Healthy Communities supported program. We appreciate their collaboration with KCBX. This program is underwritten by a grant from Joan Gellert Sargent. You can reach us at our email address is voices@kcbx.org or phone us at 543-2323. Thank you to KCBX and listeners of Public Radio for the support of this program. And thank you to my guests today, Reverend Stephen Vines, Cheryl Vines, and Jim Garcia. It's been a wonderful program. I've been glad you've been able to join us. If you'd like more information about the programs coming up, you can go to programs for NAACP. They're on Facebook at NAACPSLO. Thank you for joining us. This has been Central Coast Voices.